Hey, welcome. Oh my gosh, it's a Sunday. What am I doing here? Well, I'm here for a special reason. I'm dropping an episode of my other podcast, Cuckoo Bananas, here on the PCMC feed. Because if you listen to PCMC and you like it, I think you might also like Cuckoo Bananas. Cuckoo Bananas is a podcast that I do with my partner, Kate Gainey. And me and Kate talk about our mental health issues. I have OCD and depression, anxiety, and Kate, she's got her own stuff going on. It is a funny show, though. It is not a serious show. We take serious topics and we talk about them in a funny, silly way. It's all a good time. We are not giving advice because we are not licensed to give any advice, but it's just a fun vibe to just chill out and hear other people have issues too, just like you. So this is a little preview for you. If you like what you hear, please go over to where you get your podcast and subscribe to Cuckoo Bananas. I'll see you Wednesday for our normal episode of PCMC. Have a good holiday weekend. Welcome to Cuckoo Bananas. I'm Mike Mongiorno. I'm joined as always by my partner in crime, Kate Gainey.
Hello, hello.
How are you, Kate?
I'm okay. Doing all right. How are you?
I'm horrible. Kate, this is Cuckoo Bananas. This is a show that talks about serious things in a funny way. We talk about mental health issues. We talk about our own struggles out here on the streets. You and I are not licensed therapists, psychiatrists, psychopharmacists, psychoanalysts.
None of it.
We are not guidance counselors at the local high schools.
Thank God.
We are people talking about our own lives. This is to entertain you and, dare I say, inspire you.
Dare I say.
And if you need any real help, please don't come to us. We have no help to give you. Please go seek out help. But, you know, here's what I say. Let's say you need to go to a hospital, right? And they're like, what's your name? Be like, oh, my name is Phil, last name McCracken. And then they'll send a bill to Phil McCracken.
And you're off scot-free. Right.
Then Phil McCracken somewhere has to pay it.
Right. Phil McCracken's got a ton of debt.
My life is already hard enough. My name is Phil McCracken.
Poor guy.
Phil McCracken. So, Kate. Kate coming off a late nap.
Late nap.
Woo! A roll of the dice.
Rolling the dice. I've gotten very risky over the last month. I've decided to, you know, just live life on the edge.
Risky naps.
Take naps at like six.
Because you want to sleep at six?
Yeah.
And you woke up what time?
Like a quarter after seven. I hit snooze a couple of times.
But that's not bad.
It wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad. I knew I needed some sort of sleep because.
Yeah.
Whew. My body is just very tired lately.
The chance you take with that is you go to sleep at six and then you open your eyes and it's 12:37.
Yep.
And you look out the window and you're on the moon for some reason.
I remember when I was a kid, there would be those naps that I would like fall asleep and I'd wake up and it would be dark and like the whole house would be asleep and it would just feel like, did I sleep for ages? Like, is this, yeah, am I in the same time?
Did I slip through a wormhole?
Right. Like, did I fall asleep in the same era that I'm waking up in?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hungry. How, what, can somebody feed me? Is there anyone around to feed me?
Hello.
Oh, man. I remember being in the backseat being yelled at to not sleep. Don't fall asleep. Stay awake.
I can tell you as a parent, the worst is when your kid falls asleep in the car, like 5 minutes from home.
That's when you just jerk the wheel and smash their face into the window.
I usually start scream singing, which, you know, gets some nice looks from other drivers on the road. But it's insane because your child will be beyond exhausted and close their eyes in the car for like 4 minutes. And you'll think that when you get home, like, oh, they'll just go up and go right back to sleep. But somehow that 4 minutes has crammed like a full 8 hours into it.
Right.
And
Everything's
they have
like
all the
is a
energy.
everything's a power nap for a kid. Because they're like a new phone that when you plug it in, the battery charges super fast. You and I, we can charge our batteries for 8 hours and still wake up and be at like 65%.
Yeah, it never actually gets to 100, period.
Woo. So let's start with something good. Tell me something good about what's going on in your life.
So I have been holding on to this something good for like a week because it's just so good. It doesn't start off that great. So
Oh
my
boy.
daughter, I found out she was being made fun of in dancing school. So we addressed it with her teacher. We found out that there was a little boy in her class who was calling her fat. Right? And my husband and I were talking to her about it
You beat the
later.
shit out of this kid.
My husband said he was like, the next time he tells you that, tell him to shut up. And Abigail was like, I don't want to do that. Like, that's mean. I don't want to be mean too. And I was like, oh, my sweet little girl. And I was thinking for a second while we were talking to her. And I said, you know what, Abigail? I was made fun of for being fat when I was a kid. And the best response I ever learned to it was to just say, so. And she looked at me and she nodded and she was like, yeah, I am fat. I like that I'm fat. I like myself. And I just, like, it felt like something just cracked open because my whole life I watched my parents both struggle with their weight and diet and make comments about their bodies, make comments about our bodies, you know what I mean? And just seeing my daughter be like, yeah, I'm fat and I like myself. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm really like breaking this cycle. I'm doing it.
We're doing it.
It's really happening.
Just for a child to say I like myself, I can't even do
Oh, it
that.
was so powerful. And like, I have to say, my daughter has had a ton of confidence since day one. And I mean, I think it does have something to do with the way I parent. But she, you know, she'll write on pieces of paper, I like me, I love me, and like hang them up in her room and stuff like that. And she doesn't only do that, you know what I mean? She's not like a little narcissist baby. She also like, you know, she'll write I love you notes to my husband and I and her brother too, but
That's cute.
she loves herself. And that's probably my greatest accomplishment so far, is that I have a kid who really loves themselves and doesn't care what other people say about them.
That is an incredible accomplishment.
Oof.
Because I feel like that might be the key to everything. Like it might be smoother sailing going forward with her.
Seriously, I mean, if you instill confidence that young, maybe it is kind of, you know, something that will make her teen years a little easier or whatever.
I can't tell you how many therapy sessions in my life, like they begin with something innocuous, like, oh, I got into a fight at work, or oh, I'm worried about this bill. And then, like, the last 10 minutes of the session are, but you need to not hate yourself.
Right. It all boils down to, yeah, but if you could just not hate yourself.
Because it's always at some point they're like, but why do you think you won't do it? And I'm like, because I suck.
Because I have absolutely no faith in myself as a person.
I'm trash. What are you not getting? I've told therapists, like, I'm fooling you. I'm being funny. You see me for an hour. You don't know me. You're damn trash.
I remember being with a therapist that like I really loved. She was one that I adored. And she used to like praise me all the time, like during therapy. And she would say, like, you're so self-aware. I feel like that might be part of your problem, is that like you're a little too self-aware and you get in your head, blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, I have you so fooled. Like I'm a mess. Like you see, you think she's telling me, she's like, you should pursue a career in this and blah, blah. I'm like, you're the person I come to fall apart. What are you talking about?
It's a full heart. It's amazing.
What are
It's
you
amazing.
talking about, you crazy lady?
Well, that's like when I was a teenager, I remember like let's say I did something wrong, like I failed a class or whatever. and my parents would be would yell at me, and I'd be like, I don't need you to do this. Like, you just, I'm doing it already inside.
I already know how terrible I am. Like, I really don't need you to tell me.
You think I'm like totally fine and I need you to give me the negative reinforcement? Like, you just,
I think this is
down.
All good. Right. I'm already plenty ashamed of myself. I don't need your, we're not mad, we're just disappointed. Like, I am disappointed enough.
Disappointed in me. Oh boy. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I really like, I can't explain. I rode that high for days off that interaction. I really like my, it was like my heart cracked open when she said that. I was like, wow. Like, it was this whole full circle moment, because like, I have my diary from when I was her age, and I already have self-confidence issues at 7. There's a piece of paper where I write, pretty girl, that's me. And then I must have gone back days later and I crossed out that's, and I wrote, that's not me. And it's just over and over again. And I'm watching a 7-year-old, you know, struggle with their self-confidence in real time in my diary. And then I have my kid right in front of me who's like, screw you, I like myself. And I'm like, I did it.
Wow. Your diary, like, it says, I like me. And then, like, there's a footnote on the bottom of the page. It's like, in fact, I do not like me.
Exactly. I have to show you. I'll show you that page one day. It's pretty funny.
You should rip it out and make it into a work of art.
I should. And it would swing so violently when I was a kid. I would be, like, super duper confident. And I would be like, I'm the coolest person in the world. I'm going to be the next Spice Girl. I am, like, nobody's cooler than I am.
Yeah.
And then the next day I'd be like, I am literal garbage. I am actually a garbage person. And I mean, years and years later, I now have a bipolar 2 diagnosis, and perhaps that had something to do with it. But
as
a kid, my self-confidence would just violently swing.
Up and down. Up and down. Interesting. I don't have that diagnosis. I think my pathology is different from yours, but I think I would oscillate between crazy confidence and self-doubt, but I don't know if the confidence was real.
Right.
It may have all been self-doubt and then like just sort of hyping myself up.
Yeah.
Cause anything would like make me crack like an egg. Mm-hmm. I would never be like, oh yeah, well fuck you. If you were like, give me any criticism, I'd be like, I hear that.
And you know what? You're right.
Yeah. Thank you for the note.
Thanks so much. I'll internalize that. Thank you.
Yes. My hypochondria lately, and I should say I have never been diagnosed with hypochondria. I have been diagnosed with OCD and GAD, but if it walks like a duck and looks like a duck, if you find yourself Googling different pains and sensations every single day of your life, and making copious notes in your phone of, well, if it's this kind of cancer, then maybe this, and then I could borrow money for this treatment. If you're going through Google trying to find symptoms and stuff, and you're screenshotting things so you could go back and obsess about it later, you might have
right. You might.
It's like Jeff Foxworthy. If you get a piece of paper stuck in between your teeth and you spend 2 hours Googling fucking jaw cancer, you might have hypochondria. That's a true one. That one happened yesterday.
Yeah. Okay.
I got a little piece of paper stuck in my teeth, and then I tried to get it out with floss and it didn't work. So I think I pushed it up into my gum, although I don't feel it today. So maybe I didn't. There's a possibility.
Yeah. If there was paper in your gum, you'd probably feel it.
Yeah, I don't feel shit now, but I do feel a little sore from when I completely like hacked my gum apart with dental floss for an hour.
Right, understandably so.
Yeah, and the cliche is true. Everything does lead to cancer, because just the way that the internet is written is like they anything can be a symptom of some kind of cancer. So they've got to tell you. They never give you statistics. Like, they never go symptom for cancer, :98% not likely.
Right.
They just give. So you just go, I have cancer. Yeah. I know it sounds like I'm making light of it, but I'm not. One time I have a dot on my head, a freckle on my head. I don't know if you ever noticed it or admired it.
I often admire your head freckle.
Thank you. So I have
I ever, this is when I first thought, oh, maybe I have hypochondria. I have a freckle on my head, and I was like, let me go to a skin doctor. So I went to a skin doctor, and it was like one of these clinics that's like, I don't know what you call it. It's like it's bigger than like a practice, but it's not a hospital, but it's like 30 different doctors all in one place. It was like
Medical
weird.
center.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
like
So
one of those
this,
places that has all the different doctors and specialties and stuff like in one
yeah.
building.
Yeah. I waited for over an hour, right? And I was just sitting there, thinking about like, well, what if I have skin cancer? You know, does that hurt? What's the likelihood of surviving from that? So on and so forth. Like, really, honestly, not jokingly, it's easy for me later on to joke about it, but I was in that moment, I'm sweating and thinking I'm gonna die.
Right, you're preparing your brain for the absolute
Right.
worst.
Because people say, well, if you're hypochondriac, shouldn't every time something happens, you think to yourself, well, it didn't happen last time. But I
No.
think, yeah, it didn't happen last time. It's bound to happen eventually. Now's the real time.
Right.
Like, eventually, I've got to, like, you know what I mean? Eventually, you roll the dice and it hits, right?
Right.
So, you know, you have to do these forms where they ask you everything. You know, you're fucking, do you have this? Do you have that? Are you allergic to this? What medicines do you take? Blah, blah, blah. So I go in, I show him it. He's like, that's a fucking freckle. I don't know if he said fucking, but
It's a
he
fucking freckle.
but he asked me, he's like, do you have any other ailments or anything else? And I said, no. So he goes, all right, it's a freckle. Wear a hat. Because I'm bald. If you listen to podcasts, you don't know that I'm bald. He's like, wear a hat. That was what he dying. That's what his fucking
Right.
prescription was. Wear a
Just
hat.
wear a hat.
So he leaves, and then like I get up like to like put my jacket on and leave. And then he comes back in the room with my chart, and he's like mad a little bit.
Oh,
And
no.
he's like, I asked you if you had other issues, and I said, I don't. And he said, you put right here you have OCD. And I said, oh yeah, but I figure that doesn't count with skin.
Right, that's not gonna affect my skin, right?
And he was basically like, I deal with this every day. He's like, every freckle is not going to be cancer.
Oh my God.
And I was just like, I don't know if I love you or hate you.
I was just about to say, like, I don't know if I think that approach is brilliant or terrible.
It must be a big enough thing in his career that he was a little pissed about it.
Right.
Because all of a sudden, like, it clicked. Because he was first looking at me like I'm crazy and dumb. And then when he came back in, it was like, oh, you think everything's a thing. You're one of
Right.
these.
Everything is going to make you nervous. Got it.
Right. Everything's cancer. Everything's gonna kill you.
Right.
Oh God. And that's when I was really like, oh, maybe this is a real problem.
Right.
But I have to say it happens all the time. And I talked on the last episode about all my various dental adventures. Since the dental adventures, it's been worse for me.
I'm sure, because that opens up a whole new
Right.
area to freak out
Yeah.
about.
Plus I had COVID. Plus my girlfriend got COVID. And my girlfriend is has a lung condition, so she actually spent a day in a hospital,
Oh
which
my
was a
God, that's so
nightmare.
scary.
Yeah, it was my worst nightmare come true.
Yeah.
So I'm just constantly lately thinking about illness and death and
All that good fun stuff.
shit like that, baby. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. That sucks. And I've been there too. The other day when I, excuse me, when I fell and cut my knee open, it was such a silly thing, but like I didn't realize how bad it was. And I hit myself. And that was like I started getting really worried and like looking why I'm saying this is I get the same way where I start to look deeper at something and
Yes.
I start to realize all of the things that could go wrong with it. So I'm tending to this wound on my knee and I'm seeing all like the layers of skin that have now broken.
Yeah.
Thinking about how I could get an infection in any layer of those, and how if that doesn't grow back properly, it's gonna look weird or whatever.
Yes.
Like, so it's not to the same extent. I don't always, my end thought isn't always death, but like I get getting obsessive and finding like one thing and being like, I'm gonna dig as deep as I can into this to find out how it could hurt me.
Yeah. And I don't know if this happens with you, but for me, it's not like one question. It becomes a branch. It branches out like a tree, like, you know, like I thought I thought yesterday that I got paper in my gum. So I Google paper between teeth, paper between gum. Then I go, maybe it'll dissolve. So I Google, will paper dissolve in mouth?
Mm.
Right. And then every one of these things, I might find an article. I might find like a Reddit thread.
Mm-hmm.
Where one
and then
person
you end up on another, you right. know, on another branch going down that rabbit hole.
Go and go every different which way. When that happens, I'm like, what's scary about that? When that happens, when I'm really in it, I find myself, I have a frightening lack of empathy.
Yeah.
Like someone next to me could be on fire. But if I'm in that space, that headspace, I'm like, I don't care. I'm thinking about that my jaw is going to be infected because of this piece of paper. And then that'll reach my brain.
And your crisis is in your mind. It's happening.
Right.
So it matters more. Right.
Because how it happens to somebody. Right.
Why not me?
Why not me? I'm the person who doesn't get a brain infection from paper.
Do you know that I almost find comfort in that statement? Like okay. I forget what I was reading. I was reading something and.
Wait, I know. You were reading something about someone going blind.
Yeah. Right. I don't remember what it was, but it was that person that went blind and it was like, you know, well, who am I to not lose my eyesight? And to me, that just feels like, well, all right, we're all as likely to have this happen to us. And yes, that's scary, but it also is kind of comforting in a way, to me at least. I mean, I could understand how perhaps with OCD and perhaps hypochondria as well, that might not be a comforting thought, but...
Well, when a bad thing does happen, you know, and it's definitely happened, it's not going to happen, it happened.
Right.
I can find... solace in that kind of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm fearing something maybe happening, it doesn't.
Right.
Because then I'm constantly thinking about probabilities and like, well, what if it does happen? What if it doesn't? What if it's this? What if it's that? You know, I actually said yesterday to my girlfriend, I hate my teeth. I hate teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I, as a person who struggled with his weight his whole life and anxiety, I've hated my body before, but never this specific. I've never hated my teeth before.
Right.
But I literally was like, I'm not joking. I hate my teeth. I hate teeth. I hate that I have teeth. If I was a millionaire, I'd have them all removed and put fake ones in.
I've said that so many times.
Yeah.
Honestly, that like the idea of caring for teeth and having to like maintain them the way that you're supposed to is just... It's very difficult. It's expensive. And there's a lot of shame around it. So like, I'm kind of ashamed to talk about it, but this is why we do this. Depression affects my ability to take care of myself. So there are days that I go without brushing my teeth because I just can't bring myself to do it. The same way there are days that I don't shower because I just can't make myself do it.
Yeah.
So, and I believe this is a thing that like, if you look it up, like there's something called depression mouth and it's just like, it's people who can't consistently take care of their teeth. And then you end up in this hole where you have to pay a ton of money for dental work and who can afford that, you know?
Right. Right.
So I agree.
Yeah.
Teeth are luxury bones that I did not sign up for.
Right. Yeah. And as you age, whether you take care of it or not, as you age, they fuck up. So in a microcosm way, your teeth become a metaphor for decay.
Yeah.
It's like
the most outward display of how your body is breaking down.
Right. Like I've come to realize that like you might have a cavity and have it filled, but if you're young enough in 25 years, that will probably have to become like a root canal.
Right.
Like everything is a stopgap. Everything is keeping it going. Nothing's ever, unless you take them all out and pay for crazy expensive implants, which are like $3,000 an implant.
Per tooth, yeah. And that's not even including all the work that you have to do.
Which is hours and hours
of surgery.
I mean, that's real invasive surgery.
They literally rip all the bones out of your head.
Yeah.
Like, out of your mouth, at least. Yeah. And another effect having, I don't know if when you went to the dentist, if they said anything to you about like grinding your teeth or anything.
Yes. I clench my jaw in my sleep.
Yeah. And I think that's, I mean, I hypothesize it's got something to do with anxiety. or, you know, whatever. Like, I grind my teeth and I clench my jaw in my sleep, and my teeth are falling apart in the back because of it. Yeah. Because I clench my teeth down so hard when I'm sleeping, and I can't even,
yeah.
I mean, I do it when I'm awake too, and I'll notice it and be like, stop clenching your jaw, relax your shoulders.
Yeah. right. Unclench your fist.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you making a fist?
Yeah. I'll do the same thing and I won't notice it until like my nail is digging into my palm and I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Cut that out.
Yeah. I think I spent a good like decade or so completely blocking teeth from my brain. Like I went a long while without thinking about it.
Right.
So it kind of all came in like a flood. And now I just have to think about it, I guess, a normal amount.
The worst.
Yeah. Yeah. It, I don't know. I don't want to repeat anything. I don't want to repeat stuff we repeated last time, but it's like, it's also the double of like pain and decay and stuff and money.
Ugh. It really just makes everything suck.
Who can afford really teeth in this economy?
And you want me to have teeth in this economy?
In this economy? I'm sorry. You want me to buy you a candy apple in this economy?
Do you know the dental work that will be required years down the road?
At this point in my life, if I looked at a candy apple, my mouth would fall out.
sometimes I look at like people eating certain foods and my mouth just like, it's like nails on a chalkboard. I get that. Like, it's like a tooth pain. Like, yeah. It feels like it's going straight through your teeth.
And I'm like, show off. Stop being a show off with your
look at you,
food.
You soft serve cone. Fuck you. Oh, my teeth can't take that cold shit.
Fuck you with your taffy.
For the longest time before I had one of my teeth pulled, I couldn't drink anything unless I drank it through a straw.
Wow.
Because if anything went past that tooth, I was in agony. Fucking teeth.
America.
America.
America. All right, let's get positive.
Ooh.
I have a Linda Belcher in my brain.
I'm so glad you do. I have never felt as represented as I did as when I first saw Linda Belcher. I was like, all right.
Right.
That's yeah. Who I am.
Yeah. I said to my girlfriend, I was like, you're everyone in this show. You're a little bit of Jean. You're a little bit of Louise. You're a lot of Tina, and you're a lot of Linda.
That show has such great characters.
I was definitely a Jean when I was little, like gross, shitty boy.
Yeah.
But once I heard, but from like 12 on, I was a Tina. I was totally a Tina.
Yeah, I was definitely a Tina as a teenager too. Just awkward as hell. And
worried about everything.
Yeah, just anxious and awkward as fuck.
Just want to touch people's butts.
Right. And just please bring me a butt, for crying out loud. I just want to touch a butt.
I can't wait for the movies coming out soon.
I know. I'm very excited.
I'm hyped.
Yeah, as they say.
Yeah. Oh boy. So how's school going?
School is going. I honestly have fallen a little bit behind, and it's hard because when I fall behind on something, it tends to just snowball because I feel like I can't catch up with the one thing. And until I catch up with the one thing that I missed, I can't do what's due now. So I'm just like trying to catch up. But I did something I've never done before, and that's what? Contact a tutor.
Wow.
Like I'm actually trying. I never, you know, like in the past, if I'm not good at something in general, I just don't try anymore. Okay. And with school, it would just be like, all right, let me just figure out how I'm going to pass this class and get through it. But another, you know, effect, I guess, of going back as an older adult is like, I actually care about understanding the material.
Right.
You know, so I'm like, I want to sit with somebody who can help me understand this, not just help me pass the class, help me understand this. Because the one that I'm having trouble with the most right now is statistics. But okay. if I want to go into what I want to go into, which is psychology and addiction, I am going to need to be able to interpret statistics. I'm going to need to be able to theorize like case studies and stuff like that. Like I need to be able to have that in my head. And they're teaching me how to use Excel, which I've been lying about since 2003.
Who hasn't?
You know, I've been saying I know how to use Excel for my entire life, but I haven't the slightest.
Yeah, I know. I know. Nobody knows how to use Excel.
I don't think so. I don't think anybody does.
Nobody knows at all.
You know, what's interesting is Excel has a ton of like templates and you just like apply the template. What I want to know is who makes the templates.
Who are these people?
Who are these statisticians making these templates?
Well, I the first time I realized, like, somebody like showed me a formula on it and I was like, oh, that's the idea here. You do formulas and this column equals this and then that column equals that. Oh man. I learned how to do the most simple shit when I was teaching just to like keep a grade book.
Right.
But even that was magic. And a lot of that was like every semester I would just copy and paste the formula from the last one.
Right. Just go into the old one and just finagle it for the new
formulas.
One. Right.
Oh, my Isaac Newton.
Sir Isaac Newton. Some respect on his name.
Sorry.
Dude's a knight. I would love to be a knight. I'd rather be knighted than be like a lady. I'd rather be a sir than a dame, I think.
I wonder if that's happened or if you can request such a thing.
I mean, in Game of Thrones it happened, but I don't know about the real world.
Well, that's history. That really happened.
Right. Well, Game of Thrones is just medieval history, so
yeah.
Oh, I might have told you this already, that George R. R. Martin lived in Bayonne and his inspiration for the map of Westeros was actually his view of Staten Island.
I don't know if you told me that, but I have heard that.
Yeah, it just cracks me up. The least magical place. There's fantastic violence.
The least magical place. Well, you know, come on. There's magic. There's magic everywhere.
There is. There are a lot of actually. So I have a friend visiting from California. And I always love when someone visits because I get to see my city through their eyes.
Yeah.
See it, you know, as somebody who's never seen anything like this before. And I get to appreciate it a little bit. Like the way Staten Island is laid out, like all the hills and stuff like that. Like there aren't a lot of places that have that kind of geography. And it's, you know, you appreciate little things like that when you're showing it to somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Is your friend enjoying it?
I think so. The majesty of Staten Island. Yeah. No, I mean, we have plans to do better things.
Okay.
But I really, one thing that I definitely always like to show up on Staten Island is Snug Harbor. I love Snug Harbor.
Well, it's beautiful. And they've got cherry blossoms.
Yes. So
it's like going to Japan.
It's just like Japan. They have that botanical garden. It's lovely.
Yeah.
Though I think the botanical garden is Chinese. It's the Chinese Scholar's Garden, I believe.
I went to a beautiful wedding there. I think I went to more than one beautiful wedding there. At least 50% of those weddings ended in divorce.
Oh, boy.
But
it is a lovely place to get married.
It is a lovely place to get married.
And they have a lot of really great like cultural events and stuff, too.
I did a play there.
Yeah.
In that like church.
I forget what the theater is called. Is that the Seaview Playwrights Theater? No, that's at Seaview. Who knows? But yeah, they have a lot of great stuff there. Snug Harbor is actually really cool. This podcast is not supported by the foundation at Snug Harbor.
We are not grant funded. One time I was tasked with showing around an English person new to New York,
A Brit
who was going to school here in Staten Island. And I was driving them around and little things thrilled them. Like there's an old boys high school on Staten Island called Monsignor Farrell, and they have a beautiful football field where they play football. And I drove past, as I have a million times, but this person was like, ooh, American football. Ooh. And then I was like, do you want to eat? We could go to like a diner. And they were like, ooh, a diner. We don't have diners.
Right? Like to see it through someone else's eyes. It's like, oh.
Like, oh, well, guess what? We have a ton of them.
We have so many.
She was like, nah, it's either really fancy or total shit. You've got it in between. Diners.
My friend got very excited when she saw squirrels. She was like, those squirrels are so cute.
Oh my God.
Like, they're everywhere.
Can I tell you something? I'm reading a book that you would absolutely fucking love.
Okay.
It is called Gory Details.
Uh-huh.
And it's published by National Geographic, but it's not boring. It's all, every chapter is a different, one chapter is death, one chapter is disgust. And it's all these little essays about horrible things that exist, right?
I love it.
Do you know that, so I'm reading a chapter now about cannibals. Squirrels are super cannibalistic. Squirrels eat other squirrels like you would not believe.
That is terrifying.
You would not believe.
That's really scary.
Who do you think, all right, pop quiz. Of all the animals, who do you think commits the most murder? And by murder, I mean not for food, not for prey. Actual just murder to murder.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
Just for funsies. Well, I know hippos like to murder for fun. Mm-hmm. So I'm voting hippo.
It is not a hippo. Mm. And it is not the human.
Mm. Well, yeah, there's also the human.
It's the meerkat.
The meerkat.
Pomone. Or two, which one was
Timon. Timon? You just combined them. You Timon. Made them one entity. Pomone.
Timon. Timon. Matata, I eat babies so I could fuck their mother.
Do you know seals are like that too? Seals will murder like a rival seal's baby. Like they're terrible.
That's what meerkats do. The amount of it's like not all species murder each other, but when they do, it's most definitely babies.
They definitely know exactly how to go for the weakest.
Yeah. One in five meerkats gets murdered.
Jesus.
The crime in the meerkat world.
Somebody needs to get on that. That's insane.
Unstoppable.
I mean, I guess the population is self-regulating, though, so there's that.
I guess. Scumbags.
There was something I found that I wanted to share with you. It was something about Marie Sendak.
Ooh.
That I thought you would appreciate. And now I have to find it. A friend of mine shared it with me. And I was like, I need to save this. And well, it's like it never existed. Sorry, bear with me just a sec.
I'll tell you more gross facts I learned.
Oh, please do.
There are things that exist in sewers that we call fatbergs, much like icebergs. And they're exactly what you think they are. It's human shit. That combines with, so usually it's got to be like some kind of like an oil. Often they come from like wet wipes.
Right. It's got to like congeal. Oh.
Right. And then some of them are gigantic.
But we could, that's disgusting.
I know. It's horrifying. But we're learning to use them to maybe fuel things. So, hey.
Okay. All right. If you can use our waste to fuel stuff, then that's good. Yeah. I found it. So it's a quote from Marie Sendak. Once a little boy sent me a charming card with a little drawing on it. I loved it. I sent him a card and I drew a picture of a wild thing on it. I wrote, "Dear Jim, I loved your card." And then I got a letter back from his mother and she said, "Jim loved your card so much, he ate it." That to me was one of the highest compliments I've ever received. Wow. He didn't care that it was an original Marie Sendak drawing or anything. He saw it. He loved it. He ate it.
That gives me life.
Isn't that amazing?
That is the most wild thing to do.
It is. It's what a wild thing. And
please don't go. I'll eat you up. I love you so.
Right? And I love this so much. I'm going to eat it. I want it to just be a part of me. And it speaks to my Italian soul. Because I get what it is that you just see something and you love it so much that you want to take a bite of it.
Yeah.
It's cute aggression, you know. Yeah. And it's in another form.
When I was a kid, even now, I'm obsessed with Ghostbusters. But when I was a kid, we had like the Ghostbusters proton pack toys.
Yeah.
And as like the it was plastic, but as like the stream that would come out of the gun, it was basically a yellow swimming pool noodle. Mm. And somebody online was like commented like, was it just my family or did we all eat these? And it wasn't. We all ate them.
Everyone ate them.
Yeah, you bite them and they feel so weird on your teeth.
Yeah. Oh, when I was a kid, the very first time my sisters ever babysat me alone, I had a Stretch Armstrong doll.
Yes.
And I don't know how well everyone remembers Stretch Armstrong, but he looked delicious. And I was convinced that he was
dough.
filled. And he was stretchy. I thought he was filled with jelly. I remember thinking like, oh, there's jelly in here. And so I bit it open. And so my sisters had to call poison control and they found out that it was just corn syrup. But my favorite part about this story is years later, I'm watching Jeopardy one day. And the answer is like, this late 80s action figure was filled with corn syrup. I'm like, I know the answer. That's Stretch Armstrong. I ate him.
I ate him. Yeah. There are some things that just, it'll go right in your mouth.
Some things just look delicious.
Do you know the, you have a Nintendo Switch. You know the little Switch games, which are basically like little cards. If you're going to want to do this, if you're like me, you'll do this just to gross yourself out. If you just lick it, it's the worst thing you could possibly taste because they literally put something in the plastic to try to deter children from
to putting make you not want to lick it.
But you do because it's specifically made for you to not want
right,
to.
Right, because you're not supposed to.
It is, it tastes like a bad dream.
Perfect. Okay, so I'm going to go lick my Switch games.
You are,
though. Once we're done. I am. Yeah. I am. I'm kidding, but I'm not. Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, I used to do that with biting on foil. Because that's a terrible sensation, but I'd be like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, in that book I'm reading, I'm reading a bit now about like weird smells that we like. You know what I really liked? When I quit smoking, I used the nicotine patch. And when you would, I would always take, some people leave it on at night, but I would take it off because it would give me crazy dreams. So, but then like my skin was still soaked through with nicotine and I would like sniff it. And it was like anesthetic, but like cigarette-y.
So like a weird. Sterile cigarette.
It was so horrible and weird, but then I couldn't stop.
I get that. I was reading something recently about like how people feel about their own smells. Like how people feel about like women when they get their periods or vagina havers or womb havers when they get their periods and what like that smells like, and how some people like their own smell and some people are repulsed by it. And I remember being a kid and having like a serious discussion with one of my friends about whether or not we would bathe in our own fart.
Interesting.
These are things that like 12-year-olds talk about.
This is things that I talk about.
I mean, I clearly that conversation made an imprint because I remember next to nothing, but I remember the conversation about bathing in your own fart.
Well, that's a perfect example. Like most people are not grossed out by their own farts.
Right.
But other people's we are.
Yeah. And it's weird because it's not like you're used to it. Like you don't know what it's going to smell like before it comes out.
Right.
It's not like you're
yours.
Right. It's just like, this is familiar. This is my musk. This comes from my body.
Right. Yeah.
Bizarre.
Smells.
How did we?
I don't know.
Smells.
We were talking about biting things and eating.
That's it.
Okay. So I had an idea, which was for these new episodes that we do where we don't have like big topics, we should come up with discussion questions for each other. So I have one for you.
Okay.
It's kind of big, but we don't have to spend too much time on it because it's maybe too big. I read this happens to me at least once a month. I read an article recently about climate change, and by the end of it, I was empty and hopeless and was like, oh, why do I care about anything? Nothing matters. Everything's awful. I'm dying. This planet's dying. Everything I worry about is just me fucking fooling myself. I become a complete nihilist. And I'm wondering if that happens to you and how you deal with it.
So it does, for the first part, short answer, it does. And usually what I'll do is I will try and counteract whatever I've consumed with something else positive. Like if I'm reading, let's say I'm reading about climate change, I'll start researching like what people are doing to combat climate change. And I'll start seeing like, oh, here's this little ragtag group of youths who are like, doing this thing. And then I get more hopeful. Yeah, sometimes on days where that my brain just isn't wired that way for the day, you know, I look at that and I'm like, that's still not going to do anything. Everything's hopeless. And I think it's okay to feel like everything's hopeless sometimes.
Okay.
I think it's okay as long as you accept that it's temporary. That as long as you accept that that hopeless feeling is temporary. Because if that hopeless feeling sticks, that's where it becomes like suicidal ideation and things like that.
Yeah.
But if you get hopeless, right? If you and like in this instance, you're getting hopeless. It's not like something happened directly around you. You read something or you took something in that made you feel this way.
Right.
I think you can just acknowledge, like, I feel hopeless right now. And maybe I'll have hope tomorrow. But, you know, right now I just feel hopeless and I could just continue to just go through the motions and find joy in my stupid, silly little things that don't even matter or, you know, whatever. Like,
right.
can beat yourself up in your brain about it all day, but you know that another day you're going to wake up and you're going to have hope again.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
My question was so much less like, I thought of like a silly question.
No, that's absolutely fine. Yeah.
I was curious about if there was a film of your life, who you would consider for like the main cast.
Okay.
Like who do you feel could portray you and people close to you?
That's fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, so you can play along at home, go on our Instagram and look at what we look like. Cause this is only be interesting once you see what my real stupid face looks like. oh my gosh. Is it weird that I'm having a hard time? People used to say, when I had like curly hair, people used to always say that I look like Jonah Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when I was heavier and had curly hair.
Do you think he could like capture your energy though? Do you think like that would be a good person to portray you?
My energy. Could Garfield the cat play me?
Yeah, anything goes.
The cartoon character Garfield.
Starring Garfield.
As Mike Buongiorno. that's such an interesting question. People around me, that's a weird one too. That's a hard one too. Maybe Linda Belcher is my girlfriend.
I love this movie. It's got an all-star cast.
you know what? You know what you're making me think of? This shows how dumb little young people are. I remember when I was a teenager and I would smoke cigarettes. People would be like, "You shouldn't smoke. It's terrible for you." And I remember saying and meaning, yeah, but if I stop smoking, my biography will be in color. But if I keep smoking, my biography will be black and white because I'll be cooler, edgier.
Right.
Black and white photography will fit me more.
Right.
Smoke looks great in black and white. Like a genuine thought.
I will just be much cooler if I continue to smoke.
Yeah. Yeah. I basically said I do it because it looks cool.
Right. For the aesthetic.
It's all about the aesthetic. It's all about the aesthetic. have you ever thought about this yourself?
I have. It changes as I get older. Obviously, like, we're not the same age, but I would love Catherine Hahn to play me.
Okay. I see that energy. I see that energy.
Because I feel like she could be intense. She can be funny. She can, you know, she can do it all.
Yes. She can do it all.
And honestly, what made me think of it was the fact that, like, since I'm a kid, I have always known who would play one of my sisters. For some reason, Joan Cusack has always just reminded me of my sister. And it's weird because they don't look alike or anything. They don't, I don't know, but just something about the energy that I'm like,
right.
I know who plays you.
Joan Cusack is famously a sister.
Right. It's that sisterly energy.
Big sister energy.
Right. Yeah, I think about BSC. This a lot. BSC. I got that BSC.
That's really interesting. If he were alive now, I think Lou Costello of Abbott and Costello fame would be a good meme.
I like that. That's a good answer. I like that. I'm trying to think of who I think would play you.
Sometimes I see people on TV that look like people I know in real life and I go, oh, that's who would play them in the movie.
Right.
Because it's always like resembles them, but is prettier.
Right. But it's like the Hollywood version.
Yeah, like, oh yeah, like that. You don't want to say that to somebody because it typically offends them. But in your head, you're like, oh, that's movie you.
Right. That's you if you had all the money for all the beauty treatments, yeah. And like, you know.
That gorgeous person is going to go through hair and makeup to look like you.
Right.
To dress down to be you.
To look like you.
Wow.
Like, that's the thing is when I like to think about people in my life as characters sometimes. Yeah. I like to, like, you know, think about how they would be like fleshed out on a piece of paper as a character and like what their attributes are.
Yeah. Could you imagine actually watching such a thing though? I think that would be really, really hard.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Even if they like try, even if it were like to make you look good, it would still be crazy hard, I think. I would
be so critical of it, and I would just like nothing would be right, and I would I couldn't watch it.
Right, right. Because how could it be? How could it possibly be?
Right, because I experienced it. So if I'm watching somebody try to tell my experience, I'd be like, eh.
Right.
It's not quite
how my house looks like.
Right, like, you got it all wrong.
I would never say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brad Pitt, I think, would be me.
That's your final decision?
That's my doppelganger.
People stop you at the grocery store all the time. They're like, you know who you look like. Specifically, like, 94 Brad Pitt.
Right. But Brad Pitt would be like, oh, I'm going to play Mike. I'm just going to eat ring dings all day. I've really got to, like, method this.
I'm really going to lead in.
Yeah. So I wanted to end with recommending things.
Yeah.
So my recommendation is a movie that just came out on HBO Max. It's called The Fallout.
Mm.
It stars Jenna Ortega, a young delight. And have you seen this or seen the trailer of it?
I have seen it. Incredibly powerful.
Very powerful. I would say even trigger warning, because it's a super triggering,
absolutely,
movie. It's very shocking. It's a rough one. It's a roughie.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the aftermath of a school shooting, but they really never show the shooter or anything about them. It's about the two main characters, or the three main characters, or three teenagers that aren't necessarily friends. They're all just in the bathroom while this school shooting is happening.
And they're all trauma bonded.
Right. They're trauma bonded.
Yeah.
And you know, what is it? I feel like it was a unique view on a story that we know.
Right.
You know, like, what do you do? Like, one of her and her best friend drift apart because she's becoming really depressed because of it. And that's her reaction to it. But her best friend, who was kind of a vapid guy to begin with, his reaction is he's becoming like an activist. So they're like splitting apart. And it's, I know, I thought it was really good. You know, I can't speak to the veracity of if it's realistic or not, because I've never experienced that. But it never felt to me like an after school special.
Right.
It never really felt to me like exploitative. Like, we've talked about Euphoria before. I don't really like Euphoria. It didn't have that Euphoria feeling to me of like, you know what I mean? Like, they're making depression look so sexy.
Right. No, it was real. It felt very real, and it felt like intimate, like the way that it's filmed, the way that it's written. It's you kind of feel like you're stepping into the character's shoes. Yeah.
And her PTSD that she's dealing with is real, I mean, she's a good actress.
Yeah.
What's so funny is she's in the new Scream movie, and it's so fascinating because it's like they're basically the same story, but one is more a realistic version and one is a genre-fied movie version. Because they're both the story of teens where someone is killing them, but it's it's really interesting to compare the two.
But one is like the campy.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah. I think she was she's one of these Disney people.
Yeah, Disney or Nickelodeon or one of those kid star machines.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Zendaya, right?
Yep.
like by the time like somebody gets to something I'd see, people are like, oh, they're from Disney. They're like, I've known them forever. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I don't.
Yep.
Yeah. So I guess I would recommend that if you're like, if you're in the mood to handle, if you have the bandwidth to handle a serious story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that recommendation. That was great. But yeah, definitely trigger warning, very intense themes and,
right,
you know. So I have been watching much lighter things lately. Sure. So I'm going to recommend on Netflix, Get Organized with The Home Edit.
With who?
The Home Edit. So I never had heard of them until I randomly happened upon this show, but apparently they are like celebrity organizers and stuff like that. So it's just like shows with like little makeovers of this one's pantry or that one's bathroom. But watching it has inspired me to get my space a little bit more tidy, which I think is a good thing. And it's just, it's good light watching. It's satisfying. That's where I'm at right now.
So tell me what like happens in a typical episode.
So they'll come to say, usually, so the episodes are, in, there's two like makeovers in each episode. And one is a celebrity and one's just, you know, an average Joe. But like they'll go in and say, redo a whole family's like playroom because it's just chaos and it's completely disorganized, and they color code everything and they make it look all nice and they try to make it easy to maintain. So for me, this ties into mental health stuff because I have started to organize in a way that makes sense.
Okay.
For me, instead of just doing like, you know, what the book would say or whatever, like I know that if my produce goes in the drawer, it's going to go bad because I forget about the drawer. But I know that the drawer is at my kid's eye level. So if I fill the drawer with stuff for my children in the fridge, if I make that like the kid's drawer and it has like their snacks and stuff, and I put the produce up top, then it's right in my face and I'm not going to let it go bad. Mm. Or whatever, like these little hacks where I can organize something to make it more efficient for myself.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like stuff like that. For a while, I was into the new Queer Eye.
Oh, I enjoy Queer Eye.
Yeah, yeah. I do enjoy, I think Netflix actually has a good amount of like reality game kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You seen that show about cake? Is it cake or not?
Is it cake? I haven't watched it. My niece is obsessed. It's her favorite show.
It's fun. It's exactly what you think it is.
Is it cake?
You know what? Sometimes it's cake, and that's sometimes scary. It's cake.
I was cracking up the first time I saw that, like on my Netflix, like you know, newly released. Is it cake?
Yeah,
like, that's a show.
Yeah.
I also just like slight honorable mention. I started watching an Italian sitcom called An Astrological Guide to Broken Hearts on Netflix.
Is it in Italian?
Yeah. And it's delightful.
Do you speak Italian? Do you understand Italian?
Un po'. A little. It's actually, it's helping me to better understand because like I have the subtitles on, but I'm also like, I'm listening and reading and like, I can turn my head away and do something and still be able to, you know what's going on. You have
Italian subtitles on or English subtitles on?
English.
Okay. So, you know, Okay.
But like I can turn away and, you know, still know what's going on. But it's like a silly little sitcom and it's about a girl who's heartbroken. She went through a breakup, her ex is getting married. And she meets a friend who's into astrology and she also is a TV producer and she comes up with this idea of like dating through the zodiac.
So, okay.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a cute, fun little show.
Is it sexy?
Not yet. It might get sexy.
Sometimes Italian things are sexy.
I mean, it might just be sexy because it's Italian. But the main character reminds me of like what I would equivocate to an Italian Zoe Deschanel. Like she has that kind of vibe going.
Okay. Okay.
She's not as like quirky. But she's got that kind of energy a little bit. That's my Zoe Deschanel impression. I think that was
spot on.
I wish everybody could have seen the motions because I think the motions really helped it out.
Absolutely, bro. Oh gosh. Well, I think we did it. What a wonderful time.
We've gone, done it again.
I feel healed. I feel purged.
Good.
I have a dentist appointment later this week.
Oh boy.
I
canceled
can't.
Mine last week.
I'm already in my head rehearsing how I'm gonna bring up I think I have paper in my tooth without sounding crazy. Which,
right.
By the way, that boat is sailed. These people
right.
hate me.
Right. Good luck. Have fun with that.
I call them and I could hear their eyes rolling.
Oh no, you're that guy.
Yeah, they're like, oh, this fucking guy
again. Oh my god.
What? You think he thinks he's deep in his teeth? This is like, I'm Doctor's worst nightmare. I'm if you get this reference, I'm Richard Kind from Scrubs.
I don't get that one.
Just hit hypochondriac.
I never saw Scrubs. Oh, but Scrubs there are several clients from when I worked at the animal hospital that I'm thinking of when you say that, like where you would just see their name come up and you'd be like, oh my god, the answer is exactly the same as last time.
I know. Well, I at least have new questions.
That's good. That's good. At least you're coming up with new material because
yeah.
being asked the same question repeatedly is not it.
Yeah. Well, you know what the problem is? It's not their problem, but the fucking insurance company, they send me, you know, they let all the claims go through and then come back to me.
Right.
But they're constant. Every day I get something. You owe this, you owe that, you owe that, you owe $1 million, you owe two. And I'll be like, do I owe $1 million? You're like, no, that was a mistake. They're counting this, but you already paid that. And it's like, well, I know it's not your fault, but somebody needs to tell these people, stop fucking stressing.
Giving me a heart attack. Yeah.
Your responsibility may be many digits.
Yeah, no, that is a very scary statement. Yeah,
I do not want
your
that
responsibility
to be my
may
responsibility.
Be whatever it's followed by, I'm scared of your responsibility may be, unless it's like a cute little red panda.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Definitely not numbers. I don't want numbers after a response.
I know. No. unless it's like to eat 1,000 donuts.
Right. I could do that.
Yeah.
Speaking of red pandas, have you seen Turning Red?
Yes. You could also listen to my Turning Red episode on my other podcast, Pop Culture Man Children, available now anywhere pods are found.
Anywhere pods are casted.
You bet. Turning Red. Hear all of my insights on it.
It's so delightful. We love it in this house.
Oh, it's wonderful.
We love it.
It's wonderful.
It is. I love the whole early 2000s thing, the whole boy band thing.
Yes.
Is just, and it rings so true. That's actually basically how my best friend and I became best friends, as we bonded over loving the same boy band,
yeah.
The Backstreet Boys in our case.
Four Town.
We listen to 4Town in my house like they're like the band.
Yeah.
I have my alarm in the morning goes off to, yeah. You never know, oh mama.
Don't cry.
I love all the double negatives.
Yeah.
It's so good.
The Aarons. It's so
it's
good.
So all right. Good. All right.
This has been Cuckoo Bananas. I'm Mike Madrono, Kate Gainey.
Yes.
Outside. You can listen to us on anywhere. You want to go to, you want to go Apple Music? You want to go Spotify? You want to fucking
Amazon?
Anything.
Do it up.
Anything. You Google Play? Fucking
you
anything.
It? You want it?
Listen the fuck up. Do you want to listen to this podcast? Yes or no? If the answer is yes, anywhere.
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 So many avenues you can take.
Yes. We'll see you next month.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.